Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You proactively made the decision to go and coach the Sacramento Kings. Please, sir, explain yourself.
Well, I think it's a tremendous opportunity. It's time for the cement to dry here and lay down the foundation and do some things consistently. Vlade Divac made me very comfortable about the direction that we can go and doing it together, where the head coach and the GM are on the same page, and I think that's a very positive thing.
Don't get me wrong, I think that Rudy Gay as a six man would be lethal. I mean, I just, because of Rudy Gay's talent, he can never be a six man. Like, if your suggestion is you bring Rudy Gay as a six man, it won't happen.
That's a great point. You're right. It seems like, based on the comments he's made to the media, he's not destined for Sacramento, right? He's not going to be here for that 17-18 season when things are beautiful. So the world's been trying to figure out, what's that Rudy Gay trade? You know, is it to the Rockets? You know, is it maybe to the Hornets or the Hawks, or, you know, who's going to spring for Rudy Gay, knowing that the Kings are wanting a starter's worth of assets for him?
What it is that Rudy Gay is on a one-year rental.
Right.
I mean, the contract's still fair, and don't get me wrong, and if he opts in, if you can convince him to opt into it, then you have two good years, but he's not going to. This is the time he wants to get paid, and everybody knows that. And because of the comments that he's made, he's put the Kings in a situation where he's basically said, I'm willing to be moved. Like, I haven't requested a trade, but yeah, there's enough news out there. So if they want to get me in a different situation, I'm completely okay with that. I mean, what team's like, you know what, I'm going to give you my starting point guard for this guy?
No one. Here's my trade, okay? Consider the following, all right?
I'm Vlade.
Okay? So, yeah, you're Vlade, right? Okay.
Or am I the opposing team and you're offering me Rudy Gay?
Well, no. Here, you should be Vlade listening to this idea that I'm giving you, saying, okay, you're Vlade slash George Bush and I'm Dick Cheney slash me.
Okay.
I'm trying to, like, convince you to do something like invade Iraq or make a trade. Same thing. Okay. All right.
What a comparison.
Okay. Anyways, I have tons of stock in Halliburton. Halliburton sells missiles. So let's bomb the Iraq. Oh, wait, no. Okay, never mind. We're talking about basketball.
Oh, my goodness. Let's talk basketball. Okay.
So, Vlade, here's the deal. Let's say that Darren Collison is suspended, which he's going to be for a little bit. Who's going to start at point guard?
Ty Lawson.
Screw that, all right, okay? What we're going to do, right, is we're going to get Rudy Gay, okay, and we're going to fix that. You want to hear a team that would make a move for a good but not great player and has way too many combo 1-2 players.
I'm ready to hear this trade.
Pelicans, okay? They've got Tim Frazier, Langston Galloway, Etuan Moore, right? They don't need all three of those guys to back up their starters who, by the way, speaking of getting good instead of great, they sprung for Buddy instead of getting the much higher upside guy because they're just trying to be good right now. They're not trying to even be great, right?
Which I don't understand because they want to get rid of Tyreek Evans. I mean, I've heard that they're basically open to the idea of trading Jrue Holiday. I mean, I would be. Yeah, but, I don't know where I read that at, but yeah.
But they're the type of team that would make a trade for a guy like Rudy Gay, right?
Yeah, they'd probably want to put someone next to Anthony Davis. Yeah, I could see him doing it.
Well, so Vlade, I'm wondering whether you know, like I do, right? Which team had the worst real plus minus in the league at small forward position last year?
I'm going to guess the Pelicans.
It was the Pelicans. They were starting Dante Cunningham. Quincy Pondexter was aight, but he was injured all season. So their starting small forward, right, was this guy who I already forgot his name, even though I said it just a second ago. Cunningham or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What's Dante Cunningham?
Yeah, Dante Cunningham. So they could stand to benefit from a huge small forward upgrade.
Yeah.
Okay? You follow me so far?
All right. I'm with you.
Okay, so here's the trade, Vladdy. Here's what I propose that you propose. George. Just kidding.
I'm ready.
You're not George Bush. I would prefer each one more, but Langston Galloway also works.
Okay.
And either one of those two players are 3-and-D guards, basically, right? 3-and-D 1-2s, combo guards, you know?
Okay.
If that's your first guard off the bench, that's okay. That's acceptable, right? And then the other piece, the piece that makes the contracts work and makes it all beautiful, you know, LeBron just did a homecoming. Dwight Howard did a homecoming. Dwayne Wade went back to Chicago. And guess what?
I'm nervous about the name you're about to say.
Tyreek Evans is going to come back to Sacramento.
Stop it.
All right?
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Why?
No.
Why?
I don't want 35, 45, maybe 50 games of Tyreek Evans' knee. I really don't.
Well, but the thing is that you are moving on from Rudy Gay, and you're getting a feasible guy who can play in 20, 25 minutes a game, right, as the sixth man guy running the bench offense.
If you can convince him to be sixth man, I'm okay with it. Sixth man, he turns into like a 20 times better Lance Stephenson.
Well, yeah, right.
As a sixth man, but you can't have him as a starter in Sacramento because that Tyreek and Cousins doesn't work. We've already seen it.
I'm saying you're trading Rudy Gay as a championship caliber high usage sixth man for Tyreek Evans, who could be that feasibly.
If he agrees to that. That's the thing. Is like, this is another player that has shown that he can put up numbers in starters. Now, do you think he deserves to be a starter after what he's done? I don't think he had that great of a year even when he was playing. You know what I mean? He holds the ball longer than Rondo does, or just as long. He makes dumb decisions.
Yeah, but so, that's what your six-man sort of is, right?
That's my only argument is, can we – in this world, is it a guarantee that Tyreek Evans is okay with being a six-man?
No, it's not. He could leave, and then you are fine with that because – you got 4 years of either Langston Galloway or each one
more. I would want each one more. I would want each one more.
Each one more, right? So you got 4 years of each one more, right? And you know who's replacing Tyreek Evans in that role next year?
Yeah, the 2017 draft.
Bogdanovich. Best.
Bogdan.
Yeah, Bogdan, right? Okay, he's your new guy stepping in for Tyreek and being better than he was, man. Bogdan, dude, he's going to fucking shred. He's like that rat in Ninja Turtles. He's Master Shredder.
Master Splinter.
Is it Splinter? I thought it was Master Shredder.
Shredder's the bad guy.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever, man. That would be great for him, right? Okay, so, all right, you follow
you
me, right?
You make me laugh.
And this I'm is following. A realistic trade, isn't it, right?
I mean, the only thing that's unrealistic about it is that I really don't think the Pelicans are trading each one more.
Well, what about Langston Galloway?
I wouldn't want Langston Galloway. That's the thing. Like, if I'm Sacramento, I don't
want
Langston Galloway.
What's wrong with Langston Galloway?
The thing about Langston Galloway, he's really nothing. Like, he's not that good of a shooter. He's not that good of a driver. He makes terrible decisions. He's okay defensively. What have we seen that he's been really good? New York when he had his limited minutes, and then he was a starter for a little while.
Etuan Moore, you're describing Etuan Moore, too.
Etuan Moore has shown up, and I think he gets undervalued for what he was in Chicago. He stepped up in big ways when Derrick Rose went out. And on top of that, he knows how to – we've seen him be able to hit the big shot in the middle of a game.
There's also Tim Frazier, by the way, right?
I like what Tim Frazier did last year for my DFS team. I also talk fantasy sports on hoop-ball.com on the Fantasy NBA Today podcast. You guys go subscribe to that right now on iTunes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so, all right. Okay, so, Vladdy, listen. I'm saying that you can make the trade Rudy Gay for Tyreek plus any of those three guards, and the Pelicans should be looking to do something like that. They should be looking to bolster their team right now. Get a guy, they would be willing to pay Rudy Gay that type of money, right? They need to figure out something, right? He actually might even fit well next to Buddy and Anthony Davis. Like, that might actually be decent. And so, right, I'm saying, like, you know, you push Etuan Moore, you do your Vladdy negotiations, get Serbian or maybe I don't know. Where is he?
Serbia.
Yeah. Is he Serbian? Right. Serbian on them, you know, like get Eastern European, start threatening their family members. Do what you got to do to get Etuan Moore. If it doesn't work, pull the trigger for Langston Galloway or Tim Frazier. It doesn't matter.
I love Etuan Moore. I can't take the risk on Tyreek Evans. I'd rather find something different, to be honest.
There's not really a risk on Tyreek Evans, right?
One, the risk is you said he has to be a six man, where there's no guarantee he's going to buy into that. Two, he really is not that good. Like, he can drive to the basket, but he's a ball stopper, and he doesn't necessarily make your team any better. And we've seen that with the Pelicans. So I don't really like just saying Rudy Gay for Etuan Moore. That's basically calling him the value. If anything, I'd probably
I think Etuan honestly Moore like pick. 1 year of Rudy Gay for 4 years of Etuan Moore. If that, I'm the I mean, Kings, that would be moronic if they didn't do that. Honestly,
I wanted the Kings to go after Etuan Moore hard this offseason.
I mean, like, just did. Can you feasibly get value from any other team like that? I mean, 1 year of Rudy Gay, right? Who most teams are just going to say flat up no because it's a negative to them to get Rudy Gay because they would have to sign into that contract, right? The Pelicans are one of like three teams in the league who that would be a positive for. Okay, you could get 4 years of a guy like Etuan Moore. I really like Langston Galloway. I know a lot about basketball, Vlade. You should trust me on this one. Like, okay. I would prefer Etuan Moore. If Etuan Moore doesn't work out, Langston Galloway is fine. And if that doesn't work out, Tim Frazier's fine too. Rudy Gay is going to be gone anyways. It's going to be okay. The best case scenario is that you have your future six man in Tyreke Evans, and you have your future guy who's going to sort of play 3 and D as the other wing next to the guy who's your Jamal Crawford running your offense, right?
I mean, the other team that I had in mind that I think would be No, they probably wouldn't. The more I think about it, it's just not going to happen. The team that everyone out here in Sacramento wants so badly, and it just doesn't. I've said it countless times that the Kings should have pulled the trigger on this trade, is with the Phoenix Suns. And the only thing is that if it was going to happen, because then they can move Eric Bledsoe to the starting point guard. You have Devin Booker at the two, and then you can get rid of PJ Tucker and actually have a talented small forward. And then Brandon Knight's on a 4-year contract. I would literally do Rudy Gay, Ben McLemore, and a second for Brandon Knight and PJ Tucker.
Okay. Well, Vladdy, I could understand that reasoning. I think that if Brandon Knight's your starting point guard, then you can't win a championship.
I don't disagree with you, but at the same time, I do really see the value in a guy like Brandon Knight. Like, if you compare the numbers between Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe, like, they're not that far apart. Like when they're playing together. So,
you, should listen to Too Little Too Len and talk a little bit about why Brandon Knight is not a very good player.
No, I'm not saying he's great. What I'm saying is like, if you're needing a, and I don't know if we're going to start getting into the starters yet, but I think if you need a starting point guard that can be like a third option for you, he has capability of doing it. But I guess you're kind of taking the same risk with Tyreke. I don't know. It's just hard to find. This is how hard it is to find a suitor for Rudy Gay.
Okay, so listen, in a half-court set, right? Okay, so once you cross the half-court line, here's a fun advanced stats lesson. This is actually interesting. So there are two players in the league who dribbled more than 8 times on the offensive side, so after they passed half-court. So you talk about pounding the rock and stopping the ball, right? So like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are two players who dribbled more than 8 times in a half set. Kyrie Irving, Brandon Knight was the other one. And Kyrie Irving, right, hit that 8 mark once, right? And then Brandon Knight hit the 12 mark 3 separate times. Brandon Knight is literally the biggest.
But on a team where there's no Eric Bledsoe, though. He did it where he needed to be the guy. Like, they literally looked at him and said, hey, can you try and keep us in a game for a little?
But I don't know, man.
I'm not sticking up for Brandon Knight. I'm just saying that the trade that wanted to be known in Sacramento that just didn't happen, that or Eric Bledsoe, again, just not going to happen. It's just not a realistic trade. And I would love Etuan Moore for Rudy Gay. To answer your question, I would do that and just cut off. I mean, I guess take the risk on Tyreke Evans. If you get it, you get it. But I really don't like Tyreke Evans.
I mean,
and then my reverse of that, too, is like New Orleans. With what they have constructed right now, I believe Tyreke Evans is also a 1-year deal, or does he have 2 years left on his contract? Whatever it is, I mean, they're going to be bad this season. This upcoming 2017 draft is actually if all these players come out like they expect them to, this is going to be a nice draft.
Okay,
like I'm really excited for this college season.
That's a great point, and that's another reason why, Vladdy, you might not want to trade for a guy like Brandon Knight, because 4 of the top 10 players in this upcoming draft are point guards.
Yeah, they're guards. I agree with you. Like I said, I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. I think Darren Collison is capable of holding on to this team. I'm a huge Darren Collison fan. I'm a DCT guy.
Okay, we're going to skip a couple of steps. Part of the way that this is all going to work is that the Kings this next year need to be really bad.
And that's the thing. I don't think they're going to be that bad. I just hope that they are.
I mean, like, they need to be really bad because, like, for all of this to work, they need to use their first round pick next year, not on Papa John. They need to use him on either on, like, Dennis Smith, Marco Fultz.
I think that what's going to happen in the Kings is, I mean, we can name off the 2017 players. We really don't know who's going to come out. Like, what if one of those guys get injured? They're not going to come out. They're going to stay another year. So all I know is that the talented squad that's coming into college hoops is going to be super fun. That's why I kind of brought that up. But I agree with you in the fact that, like, this team needs to definitely be bad. But I know that's not what they want. And that's, like, I would love to see the Kings, like, win 43 games. It would be awesome to see that because you haven't seen that Sacramento in 10-plus years. So now to say, like, okay.
Is that how you want Vladdy to be thinking?
No, it's not how I want him to be thinking because, like I said, in my mindset, I think the Kings should be losing because, look, this team's about to be completely brand new for 2017. You're going to have no Darren Collison in the last year of his contract, Rudy Gay basically the last year of his contract. Aaron Aflalo and Anthony Tolliver both have only 1.5, I believe, guaranteed next season. So they're basically on one-year deals. Bam, gone. You have Garrett Temple on a nice deal. You have Matt Barnes on a nice deal. And then you have your rookies. That's really not that. Then you have all this cap space to spend in the 2017 offseason where you're going to need to overspend to get a better player on your team. Completely fine. Sacramento is not a golden destination. Golden for Golden 1 Center. Get that plug. Bam. Then also you look at the draft. There's talent that could be had in this upcoming draft. Bam, there's talent there. Then you look at the shooting guard spot. Ben McLemore. He's struggling. Aaron Aflalo, you know, is he the answer or do you want to buy him out? Again, I say you buy him out. I thought 1.5 guaranteed. Then you have Bogdan Bogdanović coming over, a combo guard who is willing to make that extra pass, who always loves moving around the floor, who can knock down that shot, who has proven he can knock down that shot. I mean, you have nice young core pieces coming over, and that's where this team's going to be. Like, I look at this team and I say, oh, they're going to be 33 wins. And people are like, oh, that's so bad. That's so bad. Like, no, for one, it's being realistic. And two, that's not a bad thing for Sacramento moving forward because what this draft is. Like, you have to sometimes suck to get there. Process over results.
Well, right. And, I mean, like, that's why I'm saying let's move Rudy Gay, right? You know, like, let's set the stage so that, yeah. I mean, a big part of the reason why I'm saying, like, the Timberwolves, they could be poised, right? They could be poised to be a championship contender if you expand their roster forward, right? If the rookies become, you know, if the rookie deals become maxes or higher contracts or whatever, right? You know, that's
Ricky Rubio, Rudy Gay. I just want to get your thoughts because I haven't really asked anybody that in a while. So, and on my show, I normally have guests. So this is me doing the hosting to you now. I'm just about to flip the script for a second. Talk about Minnesota a lot. They have a ton of point guards. You know, they have those three guards right there, plus Zach LaVine. And then, I mean, you're looking at it. Who's their starting small forward? Bielitsa?
Well, Wiggins.
No, Wiggins is there, too. They use him as a shooting guard. They don't use Zach. They, for some reason, believe that Zach LaVine is a point guard. They use him there.
Oh, so no. They were just developing his ball handling skills. Napa Know
How. Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
There's this that again. I'm gonna keep going by what I've been seeing. What I've been hearing is that Zach LaVine is still looked at as a point guard on that team, and that Chris Dunn and him can work very well together. If you move Rudy Gay for Ricky Rubio, Vlad father, would you consider doing that deal? I haven't asked anybody that question.
So if I was the Kings,
if you were the Kings, would you accept that deal? Or if you're Vladdy, would you want that deal to happen? I've already given my take on it, too, so.
It depends on – I really think the Pelicans would spring for this trade that I'm saying. I think that that's a hyper-realistic option, you know? So
I like each more, so I'm okay with it.
If it was the case that it was actually a no and that they wouldn't be down for that, then, yeah, I think it's important that Rudy Gay is not on this team next year.
He's not going to be, no matter what. Like, no matter – like, this upcoming season, 2016?
No, I mean when the season starts, Rudy Gay is not there.
If I had to buy over or under on it, I'd probably take – or like a 50-50 chance. I'm probably going over 50% that he's on this team.
I would probably say so too, but I'm saying that the Kings are in this opportunity to fix some of the... Not fix, because they... Oh, God. Okay, I'm trying to stay positive. Okay, I'm breaking it. All right, listener, I'm done. All right, the Kings can fix all their dumb shit. They can do the rebuild that they should have done and stop wasting their fucking time. They can get a future all-star point guard out of next year's draft, right? They can move on from all their fucking losers. Next year, they're going to be so fucking bad. Like, I mean, Aaron Aflalo is garbage. He's like replacing Rajon Rondo with a 6'5" Rajon Rondo. Like, he doesn't play defense. He has this reputation like he plays defense, but he doesn't. He is a total ball stopper. It's impossible for him to take a efficient shot. Every shot he takes is contested because he doesn't have the speed to get away from his defender. So he just tries to launch it over the guys who are defending him at shooting guard, but he's 6'5" and he can't do that because he's old and he's like past his prime, and you're going to have that next to Rudy Gay. It's going to be like Chicago, except without people who were superstars at some point in their career. It's going to be really bad. They're going to lose a lot of games. They can get a top three, top five pick really easily. And with that top three, top five pick, they can start the 17-18 season and have, I mean, honestly, I think that the two best players in next year's draft are point guards. And potentially three out of the best five, right? And
yeah, like, I was about to say, potentially even three of them.
Right, right. And if the Kings are just good enough to miss that, then that will be the stupidest mistake they've made in the Ron Adeva organization, right? Because they're staring a superstar in the face. You know, honestly, Papa Giannis, getting him instead of, it would have been, what, like Chris, Marquise Chris? Like, Marquise Chris is a big question mark.
At the time, it was Denzel Valentine, because I'm looking at the trade down now. Like, you had Denzel Valentine available. You had Wade Baldwin, the only actual player that could have went in that lottery, come into Sacramento and actually work out to be filling that point guard spot. I mean, there's definitely some misses that they passed on to get Yorgos. But the argument that I'll stand by, too, is that this draft was so unknown. Like, no one really knows how talented these guys are going to be after 1 and 2. So then you have to just take what you're – gut tells you. You have to take what your scouts tell you. You have to go with what you think is going to happen. Is it going to flourish in year one? No. I mean, with most rookies, you're going to have to wait at least 3 years to see what they're going to become. You saw in summer league, he has a lot to work on. Like, there's a lot to be needed in his game to even be anything. Like, you can't have your back to the basket for 20 minutes. That can't happen, Yorgos. So, yeah, was, I mean,
it was a really bad pick. Dude, I don't think that he'll play more than 200 minutes in the NBA before he's gone.
Wow, that's a bold. I mean, if I'm Vlade, I'm saying he's an all-star, and he is all-star talent. If I'm Vlade.
Yeah, but remember, I broke the scenario. I think Papa Giannis is not a good fit for the modern NBA, and yeah, he has like...
We don't know what he is. I mean, unless you've seen tape on him, we really don't know what he is. He showed signs in summer league that he's willing to run the floor, but you've also seen that he's out of shape. He's shown that he has like a nice little floater. He's willing to take a jumper. Okay, but we don't know what he is. So I'm not going to say he's only going to play 200 minutes and anything like that, because, I mean, there's still something there. What I will say, too, about this Kings draft as a whole, you say it was a bad pick. I mean, they kind of made it up by somehow getting Scalabissier, who showed to be a talent. Like, if you remember Scalabissier going into college, he was like that number two pick behind Ben Simmons for like high school talents.
And Scalabissier is number five out of the championship caliber players. I think the high utility big off the bench who works well and can adapt to any system you want to run, depending on how you want to run. I mean, Scal's going to be great. Scal's great. And
I think hopefully he's better. He's just better than Channing Frye. If that's what I look at him as right now.
I think that it is a Minnesota Timberwolves-esque future championship contender big man rotation if you're switching between Willie Cauley-Stein, Scalabissier, and DeMarcus Cousins.
That was potentially supposed to be a top 10 pick with Labissier at like number 24, and they got Yorgos Papagonis at 13. So did they take the gamble? Yeah, but I guess that you can say they basically made it up by getting Labissier. Like, I'm not a fan of Malachi Richardson, who's a chucker, and then Isaiah Cousins is. I mean, he's probably not even going to be on the team.
Yeah.
I know he got an invite, but I mean, that's really, what's that? You know?
Yeah. I mean, like, they traded
Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah. For 22, right?
That's where they got Malachi.
right? And they could have gotten Scal there.
But they got Scal at 24.
Right. But there's a world where they kept their pick and got Marquise Chris, and then later, after they traded Bellinelli for 22, also got Scal and Marquise Chris, right?
They could have got Marquise Chris, and then they could have got – but the thing is that they wouldn't have gotten Scal. Like, that's the thing. Like, at 22, Malachi Richardson was still there. They got him at 24, though. They got LaBissiere at 24.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
In the world that you're –
okay. They use their pick before all the trades happen, right? The Sacramento Kings don't move their pick to the Suns. They keep it, and they select Marquise Chris, right? And then they trade Marco Bellinelli to the Hornets for number 22, and then they use that to pick Scal. So the Kings would have Scal and Marquise Chris.
But they wouldn't have done that. That's what I'm saying, is that the Kings wouldn't have done that. They would have chose Malachi Richardson still. Like, you already saw by how the draft played out.
That's my point, right? Is that,
how smart that...
The Kings have made mistakes. Like, that's not what they should have done, though, you know? And
I agree with you.
And the thing is, the point I was going to make is that the number 7 pick in this year's draft really is not super-duper valuable, because Marquise Chris is a pretty big question mark. Like, yeah, someone who's that athletic, if you can gift them an amazing skill set, they could be a superstar. But we've seen players who are that athletic and that incredibly raw, and typically that doesn't work out. It might. You know, but it probably won't. So it's okay that they made that mistake. But this is the year that the Kings could fix it all, right? What's done is done. They have Scal now. You know, they have Rudy Gay for one more year. But they can move him. They can develop Scal. They can be bad for this season, so that when the draft comes around next year and they're face-to-face with getting a franchise-defining point guard, they don't pick some flabby white European center instead. That's what I'm saying.
For this upcoming season, they're not going to do that, though. Like, they're going into a new arena. They're like, okay, again, new era of Proud. We got Dave Yeager. We got DeMarcus Cousins. We got Willie Cauley-Stein. We brought in a potentially better shooting guard than what Ben McLemore has shown. There's no more Rajon Rondo. Bam, you have Darren Collison. We have Garrett Temple, who actually I'm pretty high, at least Sacramento is becoming pretty high on. I'm not as high as a lot of other people are talking about him, but I'm okay with what he can be. And then you have all these guys. Now, guess what? We have these rookies, but they're going to develop into something. Like, they're not going to do that. They're going to try and win as many games as possible, and that is not the right decision. I completely agree with you. We're definitely on the same page. The thing is that I don't think that's the mindset that this franchise is on, and because they have this ridiculous idea of win now mentality. They're not going to hire you, though, because you're supposed to be on what they believe. And that's the thing. They're like, you can make this audiobook, and they're going to go, you said not win now. Peace. They're going to throw your thing away.
No, the American public, they don't get to know about Dick Cheney's agreement with George Bush. It's just an understood thing. This is for Vladdy's eyes only. But that's the thing, right, is that I don't think that they should fire Vladdy and get a new GM. I think that they should keep Vladdy, keep the continuity, and keep the feel-good story there. Because Vladdy's done some good things for the Kings. Like, he's done things well, right? But the things that he's done well are not things that specifically you need to have on your resume to be an NBA GM, right? You know, he's like a good leader, right? He's like a good front office guy. He's like George Bush.
Now he's the jail guy. That's what he is. Like to be like, in all seriousness about what Vladdy is, he's the guy that tries to bring people together. He's the one that they believe can fix what's right now a broken
George
franchise.
Bush, right? Like, no one is going to like elect Dick Cheney. He had like 17% popularity, right? Like, Dick Cheney, people don't like Dick Cheney, right? I want Vladdy to be the face of the organization and stuff, and be that jail guy, and go and like use his weird accent, you know. For George Bush, it's Texan, you know. For Vladdy, it's, I think you said, Serbian. You know, like, the idea of like going into this new arena and trying to win is a much more likable idea that you can present to the fan base and say, look, we're going to come into this new arena and win. And like, look, guys, we got fucking Tyreek Evans back. Remember how great he was? You know, remember how much hype there was around Tyreek Evans?
He wasn't that great, though. Like, that's the thing. He wasn't that great in Sacramento. He averaged 25 and 5 on a bad team.
You don't think that that would sell tickets to Sacramento Kings fans?
I mean, I'll say Tyreek Evans was loved in Sacramento. I'm like, yeah, maybe it sells tickets. But I mean,
right.
they're not thinking this way. Like,
no, they do want to sell tickets. That's the whole point, right? Isn't that
they're
what
going
to say?
Though? They're selling tickets already because it's a new arena. Like, they just want to say, like, hey, we are building something here, and we're proving to you, because we have a team now that's going to win just enough games for us to be bad, but not too bad. And, like, I think that's, like, I don't know if you listened to Zach Lowe's most recent podcast with Dave Yeager. Like,
he even admitted – for this episode.
Oh, nice.
I'll play
like,
it.
Okay.
Cut it up a little bit. Okay. Go ahead and finish, and then I'll play it.
Well, what it was is, like, Dave Yeager knows they're not going to win as many games. Like, he even says it. You have us ranked as 13th. That's okay. It's good to have low expectations and exceed them. But he also said that this team is not looking at how many wins they have, but about building and concreting down or cementing what their foundation is.
That's the quote that I took, right? Because that's the whole argument here, right? That's the whole point of this exercise is that, you know, this next season is not about winning. In fact, it's expressly about setting that concrete infrastructure. It's about setting up the foundations of this team to actually be an actual good team. And if that's going to happen, then they need to get a top five pick next year, right? They need to move on from Rudy Gay and try to get a guy like Etuan Moore back, right? Then they need to, you know, try to develop Willie Cauley-Stein next to DeMarcus Cousins. They need to move Rudy Gay also because Omri Catesby needs to start developing chemistry with him, right? They need to not trade for a guy like Brandon Knight. They need to have that point guard position. You know, hopefully Darren Collison, like, you know, gets abducted by aliens because they would be the number one pick in the league and they would get this Dennis Smith dude who's going to be, you know, a world beater point guard. And, like, that's the thing is, you know, the way that I interpret that, right? The way that I interpret, like, lower your expectations, 13th seed, this next season isn't about winning, it's about setting a framework. Like, that's how the Kings set this concrete framework. They can go into next season with this Dennis Smith dude who we'll call, like, the equivalent of John Wall when he was a rookie, right? So a rookie John Wall, right? And then a shooting guard.
Ogden.
Right, cool. Omri Catesby, who we already decided is a starter. So far, like, John Wall, he can totally be a second option starting point guard as he develops, right, on a championship-level team, right? Then Bogdan, right, as the fourth guy, right, like the J.R. Smith, like, that works. Cool, totally, right? Omri Catesby, the lowest usage rate, right? That totally works. Championship level, right? Number four, Willie Cauley-Stein. Number five, DeMarcus Cousins, right? So you have a full starting lineup that is totally championship caliber that you can totally, within a couple of years, win 50, 60 games with, right? Okay, and then coming off the bench, you have Scal, who we agree is great. We have Etuan Moore, who we agree is great. You have Tyree.
What about Darren Collison? Just bring him back. Like, you know what I mean? Just still stick out.
That would also be great.
I'm okay with just the Kings keeping with what they have. And I think for me about this team, and I'm going to just kind of start bringing down like certain things that I wanted to make sure I get on this port because this is just the best podcast in the world. I want to make sure the world that he listens to this understands like the mindset that at least myself on the Kings court has. Like, I mean, my co-host Joe, I mean, he's the biggest optimist of the Sacramento Kings. Like, everything that the Kings do is a good idea until it's proven wrong. Like, that's his mindset. But for me, it's like this team is at the point now where Darren Collison is a capable starting point guard, but he's not a starting point that gets you anywhere. And that's exactly what you want. He's a combo guard that should be your sixth man off the bench. That's exactly what he needs to be. That's what he's been. He's proven that he could be that with the Clippers next to Chris Paul. Yeah. It's perfect to have. Make that team stay that way. Have Garrett Temple be your starting point guard for 15 games because guess what? That's going to be – that. I mean, I think he's capable of holding the fort and being able to maybe win 5 out of those 15 games, maybe 8 out of those 15 games, which is cool. It's good. The Kings aren't coming here to look to win games, and that's what we have to get at is they're, one, looking for the cap space to bring in the veterans that need to fill out this roster. Two, have the players that are young enough to build around a guy like DeMarcus Cousins. Bogdan coming over, he looks like he's going to be, like you said, a J.R. Smith. You know, I've heard people call him a C.J. McCollum type player, and that's awesome to have. I don't expect the numbers of a C.J. McCollum, but yeah, he does have the handles. He can knock down a jumper. Perfect.
He's 6'6", so he's, you know.
Exactly. Then you get that starting point guard out of the draft. And the season that people should expect is Michael Malone's very first season as the Sacramento Kings head coach and the Kings being able to get Willie Cauley-Stein in that first draft as the number 7 pick. If they can get to number 5 and not number 7 and have that type of year, this is a successful season for the Sacramento Kings just to get to 34 wins. One more win over. And I already said that I expect them to only win like 30 games, I think was my prediction, or 29 games. And I have a right to change it until the season comes when we actually do my team preview. Which is what I said on the show. But as of right now, I have them like 29 to like 32 wins, but I have a chance to change it later on once I see what this roster has. But you definitely are looking at this team for the future and not for right now. And I think that's Sacramento starting to buy into it. They haven't fully bought into it yet because they're so done with losing, especially when they're paying their money to go inside this brand new arena. And why go get players just for gimmicks? Like, I'm tired of gimmicks. We've had Jimmer Fredette here. I'm tired of that gimmick. Like, I'm tired of just saying, hey, you know, we have all these cool guys that can be something at times and give you those moments, and you guys can cheer for them whenever they touch the basketball. Cool, that's great. Now let's start building something here. And I think that's what Dave Yeager was trying to say on that Zach Lowe podcast. It's like, it's time to cement an actual foundation. They had something with Michael Malone. Now they let that go because of a front office that didn't see it. And you know what? Go ahead. You know, he's gone, but guess what? I'm here now, and I've proven that I can be around guys like Matt Barnes, Chris Anderson, Lance Stevenson, Zach Randolph, all in a locker room with a bunch of nobodies. No offense, Memphis, for the players from last year, but you guys were in the D League, and you guys, welcome back. So it's time for them to show a system that's worked, a system that can win them games, and to build chemistry among themselves as teams. Because what I will say about last season, the biggest takeaway you could take from that George Karl era is, with so much disconnect between the front office and their head coach and the back and forth that they are going to, the colliding of heads, the thing that stuck together the most, as much as chemistry wise, was the bond between those players in that locker room. I'm not saying it was great. I'm not saying that they were kumbaya and all best friends, but the fact that there was, at least, even with the arguments between, you know, Rajon Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins, and the disconnect there was between Rudy Gay and Rajon Rondo, even though they're best friends. I mean, I believe Rondo was the best man at Rudy Gay's wedding, if I remember that correctly. Like, there's definitely friendships that were in there that were built, and now they have to find ways that make a team with chemistry look good on the floor and actually have guys come around. That's why they brought in guys like Garrett Temple and Anthony Tolliver, who just last year won Best Teammate Award next to Quincy Ace and things like that. And Omri Caspi, you brought him up. I think I agree with you. He's a great fit. You see the gifts of him fixing the headband of DeMarcus Cousins. They gave each other a pound. They went out to Israel last year. I mean, those are things that this team needs to do. They need to start building a foundation of trust among one another, because that's what happened in the early 2000s with Doug Christie, Mike Bibby, Chris Webber, and Vlade, and Bobby Jackson. They were all there for each other, and that's exactly what that they're trying to reimagine and bring back to Sacramento. And I think that's even what Yeager brought up in that interview, is that it's not time to look at the wins. It's time to start building a family type of atmosphere. Like, everyone is there for one another, because you can't play defense or you can't play offense unless you trust each other on defense. And I love that quote. And honestly, you can copy and paste some of put side by side of what Michael Malone said, of what Dave Yeager said at their time. Like, I didn't learn anything new that wasn't already expecting from Dave Yeager in that interview. All I know is that for me in that interview, it just kind of solidified a little bit more that Dave Yeager is the right guy, because he has the mindset that Michael Malone had, but Michael Malone was better with the media.
So you pretty much said everything that I was trying to say. So I'm going to take that as a win, because that's what I've sort of been trying to say with this whole podcast, right? The sell is that if you make up for some of the mistakes, you know, if you make up for some of the problems, if you move the right players but keep the other right players to keep, then what they can achieve this season is setting that framework. That's why this podcast, instead of breaking down the Kings like I've broken down the other 20 NBA teams, right? The reason I've been breaking down this team in terms of, okay, this is what you need to hold over for your future, and this is the way you need to maneuver so that starting next season, these guys are going to be there, is because I think that really the critical juncture for this team is this season. And that's the key point of this whole podcast, right? Is that there's a very realistic way. I think that Rudy Gay trade could happen. I think that Willie Cauley-Stein is going to develop that way. You can get DeMarcus Cousins to play defense. You can start Omri Caspi. You can get a guy like Langston Galloway or like Equan Moore. You know, I think that Scala BCA is going to be good. I think that, you know, that Richard Jefferson type championship guy who can just come in and fill a role, you know, for now, that's Matt Barnes and he's great. But like, for the future, you know, it would be more like the who's the bench
Garrett,
guard?
Garrett Temple's our Iman Shumpert. Like, he can come in there and he's going to guard the best defender on every team. Like, I mean, he
would be the Richard Jefferson for the future, right? 3-4 years from now, he would be like that Richard Jefferson guy who's just like been around, and, you know, like, been around the team, been like James Jones, just sort of not playing a lot of minutes, but if it really came down to him, he could, like, plug in and play a really good role if Etuan Moore wasn't on his game, or even if he could replace Etuan Moore if that was a, if Etuan Moore ended up being a problem. But he could also replace, if Tyreke Evans was a problem as the, you know, primary ball handler guy off the bench in the finals or something like that. You know, you could have
his knee slips up again.
Yeah, yeah, right. You could have Garrett Temple step in and sort of, you know, plaster over that and, like, fix it and be a Band-Aid that would be a really high quality and high character replacement for that. So the reason I didn't want to have a negative Kings podcast for this team preview, right, is because this is the last season that I can have this podcast. This is the last season that I think...
Potentially. I would stay so... Still stay,
I think Boogie's gone, man. Boogie's contract has 2 more years on it. If he's sad all of next season, but then the season afterwards, he looks at this roster born anew in 17-18, and they look, like I said, like the Timberwolves, like they're poised to become a real contender, he's going to forget that in 16-17, it wasn't as easy a transition as he would have liked it to be, right? I mean, if the Kings win 20, it'll be a bigger deal, right? If the Kings win, say, 33 wins this year and 35 next year, that will be a lot worse for the Kings than if they win 20 wins this year and 45 the year after.
I mean, they have to win at least 33 games. I mean, if they want to keep Cousins, to be honest with you. I think Cousins is tired of losing. Like, we can keep saying, like, oh, this is what should happen, is that mindset right now, after just coming off a gold medal as well, like, unless the front office has literally came out and talked to Boogie, like, hey, guess what? Like, this is our, like, look at our game plan. Like, look at the blueprints of what we have to do. And the thing is that I don't know if the Kings front office has that mindset right now. These are the blueprints for the future, because they're still trying to make moves to win. Aaron Aflalo was a move for them to try and win.
Yeah.
They wanted to improve that position. Like, that's why you can't, like, that. I knew you were going to bring up this question. I've listened to your show. I knew you were going to bring up the thought of DeMarcus Cousins possibly leaving in 2 years. And that's honestly a really good question, because I don't know if the Kings' blueprints, I don't know if the Kings' plan is for DeMarcus Cousins to be there. What I will say, though, is that if they do have the plans that we're speaking of how they could potentially get better, I don't see a team out there, because they're not going to give away DeMarcus Cousins for nothing. I don't see a team out there that automatically that he goes to, that the Kings trade for, automatically make him better. Because guess what? He's back in the same exact situation where the King, a team like the Lakers or a team like the Celtics, are willing to trade a lot of their assets. Jay Crowder, I know they're willing to trade a few of their assets plus those picks just to get DeMarcus Cousins. Like, that's the most ideal trade for them to do. But the Kings also need a big man in return. They already got that now, Horford. I mean, there's so many ways that this Kings team can go, and they need to start figuring out a plan, which I do believe that they're starting to get to. I starting to think that they understand it. But again, they have to prove to me more. And that's my thing, is like, I see the potential of what they're doing. I just haven't been proving. Like, you guys keep talking about, we need to win games. They keep talking about, you know, this was a move to make this position better and stuff like that. And it's true, they did make that position better. They need to improve in perimeter defense. They did that. They added perimeter guys in Garrett Temple and in Matt Barnes, and making Darren Collison the starter. They did all those things. I'm like, okay, you've made those things better. Like, now there's really no offensive pieces but Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins, which I'm fine with. I'm good with that, because that means less wins. But already people are like, they're going to get 37 wins. They're going to be a lot better than you expect. You shouldn't want that for this team right now. That's my opinion. I know, yeah. I'm going to get a lot of hate for that. I know a lot of Kings fans that listen to the show are probably like, you're just still down on the team. Like, I have them ranked 13th because that's what I realistically see for this team, especially if my prediction is true of Darren Collison missing at least 15 games this upcoming season. Like, they have a lot of work that they need to get to, plus the Rudy Gay situation. I mean, they got to learn a whole new system again. I mean, there's a lot that needs to happen this season. I mean, are they going to be better? Sure, maybe they're going to have that week where they just blow your mind and win 4 in a row. I hope that happens. I love when the Kings are winning games. I just think that for them to continue winning games and for them to continue having Cousins on this team, I mean, he's at his peak right now. You can't keep wasting years of DeMarcus Cousins at the talented level that he is and just start letting him dwindle his career down as, like, a mediocre player. Like, this is a once every 6 years type of player, 7 years type of player.
Dude, it's once every, like, 20 years type of player.
I didn't want to go that far. That's what I'm saying, though. But, yeah, I agree.
Well, and that's – yeah, I think you're starting to get what this podcast was sort of trying to say, right? Which is, like, you know, I was literally laying the foundations, right? That was the point. I was literally saying, okay, here's – piece one, highest usage starter. Piece two, you know, chunk. Okay, what are we missing, right? And then trying to fill in as much as possible so that starting next season, they won't need as much time to acclimate. You can just plop in the new top three pick in the draft point guard into a system that already is used to having Omri as a starter, already used to Boogie and Willie Cauley-Stein starting next to each other, already used to each one more coming off the bench with Scal, already used to having the primary ball handler guy who's running the bench unit being Tyreek Evans. Like, you could have it set into place where all the key pieces of this team would be all set into place going into draft night, and then after draft night, their starting shooting guard and point guard of the future are just going to show up on their doorstep if they have a high enough pick and after they get Bogdan, right? So that's sort of the idea, right? And the other option is that they don't do this stuff. They, instead of winning, if you have a rookie point guard and a rookie shooting guard, you have to have really a system already set up, right? You already have to have the pieces put in place to be able to pull off something like this. And it's just not going to happen.
That's where the cap's going to happen, though. Like, that's where the cap's going to happen, where they're going to be like, you know what, we're going to give you the keys, but you're going to have veterans behind you that will probably see just as many minutes or more minutes than you, because we still want to win games in 2017-18. Like, that's why I think that they've made these moves. Like, I do think Aaron Aflalo has potential to really hurt this team in the way that Rondo did, like you said in the beginning of the show, or like in the middle of the show there. You know, he has that 1.5 guaranteed money after this season, basically putting him on a one-year deal for Sacramento, leaving them to have much more cap space. And that's where you're going to start seeing, like, I get what you're trying to say. Like, this is a foundational area. My only disagreement with you, and I'm gonna keep coming back to it when you say it, is I do not like Tyreek Evans on this team.
Okay, well, and like, if that's the only disagreement, right, then like,
that's the only one. I mean, I really like what you're trying to show for this team. Yeah, I agree with you on everything. I think we're definitely meshing. Like, I don't know, maybe I gotta bring you on the King's Court now.
But like, yeah, okay, cool. So I'm glad you get what I was sort of trying to say, which is like, the basic framework for a championship team is actually here in this sort of crappy team. The pieces just need to be put into their proper places and not totally horribly misutilized. And, you know, the intro quote, the reason why it's Jaeger being introduced is like, okay, we need to set the framework here. This is what I cut together.
You have been in the Western Conference for a nice chunk of time now. That means you've played every Western Conference team dozens of times. You've seen all of them up close, and you proactively made the decision to go and coach the Sacramento Kings. Please, sir, explain yourself. What appealed to you besides the nice chunk of change you got?
Well, I think it's a tremendous opportunity. It's time for the cement to dry here and lay down the foundation and do some things consistently. A lot of D-Bots may be very comfortable about the direction that we can go and doing it together, where the head coach and the GM are on the same page, and I think that's a very positive thing.
That was the point of the podcast, but I was going to end it on this inescapable note. This season is going to decide whether Boogie stays or not, because either they're going to set their team up to be a playoff team or they won't. They'll either lay the foundation so that their team in 17-18 will make the playoffs or they won't. There isn't the option of making the playoffs this year and then next year. They might try to do that. They'll fail, though, and Boogie will leave. So I think the bright future for them, though, is like chasing this Boogie thing, because, I mean, honestly, I mentioned earlier in the podcast that Bill Simmons says there's only like five players who matter in the league, right? If you want to know who's going to win a championship, you need to say, like, okay, they have a super-duper ultra-star. Not just a guy like Paul George or John Wall. Those guys are great, right? A guy like LeBron James or Steph Curry or Michael Jordan or Shaquille O'Neal or DeMarcus Cousins. Like, DeMarcus Cousins is a guy who I think that if you put spacing around him, if you put the proper pieces around him, if you played him the right type of way and in the right type of system, you have one of the five or six players in the league at any given time that you can win a championship with, right? That means a lot. And that's how you win a championship, is that you have an utterly dominant player like that. And Boogie should be that guy. And the only reason he isn't is because of all of this Sacramento stuff that's been dysfunctional. But it's all fixable. And this is how I think that they should go about doing it. And Jaeger's a good start, by the way.
Jaeger's a great start, and the only thing I'll add to that is that, like, it was kind of Cousins' fault in the beginning, too. He needed to mature, and now he's finally at the point where he's he's a lot better than what he was when he came into this league. I mean, he's definitely matured in a way where people are starting to root for him. Like, there's still those people that think, like, he's just bad for the league. He's just a temper tantrum. He's not going to be anything more. But, I mean, he does exactly what Draymond Green does, and Draymond Green is beloved by everyone. And so – and he's more talented than Draymond Green. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah,
he hit threes like, just like Draymond Green. He can post better than Draymond Green. He's almost unstoppable offensively. Like, what can't this guy do? He can pass. He can dribble as the big man. Like, he's a Hall of Fame talent, and he needs to win. Like, it would be very disappointing to see a guy like DeMarcus Cousins at his stature being a back-to-the-basket player, dominate that way, but can also dominate you with with him facing you in a face-up game, or you leave him open from three. I mean, this is just one of those talents where you're just in awe of, but it's that mentality now of like, oh, he's a crybaby, or he's this and that a lot of people still look at him in the way of like he's just too immature to ever win. If he can conduct himself the way he did with Michael Malone, of just basically buying in and knowing that this is work. He always talks about like, I don't need to be best friends with the head coach. I just need to know that we're on the same page of basically winning. And I'm paraphrasing, but yeah. he said that, of course. And, you know, honestly, that's when he become his best friend. Like, we saw it with Michael Malone. They became friends because he respected Michael Malone, the way he conducted himself. That's what this Kings team needs right now, is leadership. And I think it starts with Dave Joerger, because he's proven he can be a leader in a locker room with guys that are just trying to be on the court. And I don't think that they want that anymore. I think they want them to start trusting one another and saying, hey, DeMarcus, we need you. And that's basically what they're saying, is DeMarcus, we need you. Stop listening to all these people saying that the Kings are looking to trade you, because we're not. We need you right now. And that's exactly what it is. Like, the Kings need DeMarcus Cousins if they want to be good, because you're not going to get another talent like that. It's so hard to find that. It's so hard to get that. It's so rare you come across a Hall of Fame talent and get that on your team. Like, that's why it's called a lottery. You know, everybody wins. You don't get that many great talents at that spot. So maybe Omri Caspi being a gel guy is what you need there, but then you need those other talents to be there, like a DeMarcus Cousins. So you can't just let that go for nothing. That's why this team, and we keep saying it on the show, like, they need to have a blueprint of what they're going to do and actually execute that. But right now, I think their blueprints are like on different pages. Like, this guy has a blueprint of like, look, let's build now. This guy's blueprint's like, well, we still need to sell tickets and win. And this one's like, well, I'm just going to do my job. Like, that's, yeah. And somehow it needs to start gelling together, like, in that front office. I think they're starting to get there. I think Joerger mentioned that in the interview with that clip that you just played. So, I mean, I like what the team potentially has. They have a good chance of being really good in 17-18. And that's what they're looking for. They're building for the future, not for right now. And you have to respect that. Process over results.
Definitely. It's not even necessarily about fixing it, because, you know, it is what it is. Like, things happened, you know, flabby centers were picked, and that is what it is now. It's just, you know, starting right now, are you going to sort of all come together and go forward with a unified vision or not? And so the two last questions on this podcast, which the first part of the question is just, I didn't go over the other reality of the Kings, because you have to start to think about who you're going to trade DeMarcus Cousins for. And then you start to think, okay, what does this team look like with Jay Crowder as its best player? And that's what the Kings management, that's what Ron Adive needs to understand, is that you're not thinking about, okay, cool, we got this, you know, nifty new Aaron Aflalo, you know, maybe this will fix things. No, like,
the veteran leader that comes in and gives you that veteran support on the floor. He knows right. How to win games. Like, yeah, I got what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, either, you know, if that's really, it's like, if that's what you're going to do, you're really going to choose between, like, passing up on a guy who we're both, like, agreeing with is understood to be the most dominant center in the game, but we also both agree is totally underrated because it could be so much more, right? That's just lame, right? So are you on that same page? Is this as big of a make-or-break season as I think it is? If they don't set themselves up to be good in 16-17, are they just screwed? Or is there a way that they get the 8th seed this year and fall out of the playoffs, but he stays? I mean, I don't know.
I don't see absolutely any way the Kings are even battling in that top 10. The Western Conference is so much stronger. So that, I think, solidifies the fact that they're going to have a top 10 pick. I don't see them being outside the top 10 in this pick. So okay. That, in that mindset, I guess it's not as make or break as I think it is for you, but for me, this is a defining season for their future, definitely. And honestly, I mean, they can fix it with the cap space that I brought up earlier that they'll have, but I mean, you got to want to have a top five pick in this draft, to be honest with you. I mean, this upcoming draft has the potential to be completely loaded and to have the talent that, like, you can have the talent that you got from DeMarcus Cousins' draft.
Yeah, that's a key part of my plan, is that you are moving Rudy Gay for Tyreke Evans, and Tyreke Evans would now start next to Aaron Aflalo.
And he'll, like, help you lose those games. Like, that, right. That's
part of games. That's the secret part of the moves that I couldn't mention because I was trying to be all positive. But you are intentionally taking, but you're giving out this outward appearance like you're not, you know? And then you are going to be bad, right? You know, but you sold this Tyreke thing. You know, maybe have some exciting games because you're playing your younger guys more. And another big aspect of it is that you have to sit down and have the conversation that we just had with DeMarcus Cousins. Like, if you want to attract free agents, you can't have DeMarcus Cousins not knowing what the f*** his team is doing.
You can't have him tweeting out prayers and then saying he's doing hot yoga, because it draws up conversation like this.
You need to sit down with DeMarcus Cousins and say, look, this is why we're going to be bad next season. You know,
this is why we made these decisions.
Right. This is why, look, we've made some mistakes, but if you're on board, this is what we need to do so that we can actually win a championship eventually. You know, so that at the end of 17-18, when you re-sign with us, you'll know that we're set up and we're stacked and we're, like, ready to go at it. And while you're in your prime, all these young guys will be coming up. They'll be, like, 25 years old, and we'll be ready to kick ass. But we're going to suck for a little bit, and you need to understand that, and you need to be happy, right, about it. You need to smile and not tell the media that you're pissed off. And, like,
you can even say things like that, but you have to say it in a different type of way that doesn't turn it around like this franchise doesn't know what it's doing, because you're the face of this franchise. Like, that's basically how it has to be.
Realistically, the free agents thing is a big aspect of it, because you need to clear out cap space and all of this. Hopefully you can have this young core assembled, but realistically, pieces aren't going to fit. Maybe I'm overrating Willie Cauley-Stein, maybe this, maybe that. But, I mean, John Wall does not like it in Washington. He's feuding with Bradley Beal. There's jealousy. He's commenting about Reggie Jackson. Like, he wants to leave. He went to Kentucky with Boogie. Like, John Wall wants to leave. And if Boogie can, like, sit down and say, yo, I think that would be dramatic, right? So, final question, okay? Yes or no answer, and then we'll do the outro, okay? All right? No explanations. I just want to hear yes or no, okay? So, it's a make or break season, right? Do they make or do they break?
I'm going to say...
just yes or no?
I'll say make.
I can respect that, dude. And hey, you know, you're the host of my favorite Kings podcast, Kings Court. And right now, you, the listener, you're not just Vladdy. You're also all of the almighty baller community out there is listening to this podcast. So you, and also you, Vladdy, go out, download on iTunes, probably also Stitcher, Google Play, and more. Go download the Kings Court podcast and listen to my man, Vince Miracle, hosting it up, doing a great job over there at the Kings Court.
Appreciate the show that you do, man. I definitely, like, listening to your stuff.
I'm glad you listened, but hey, let's actually finish up this podcast. Well, right. Hey, whether it's make or break, whether they build the foundations of a future championship Kings, or whether they're kissing Cousins goodbye, it'll definitely be a show. It always is, you know, for the Sacramento Kings. And Vince, thanks for coming on, talking Sacramento.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm going to say this, too. This has been the best podcast I've recorded over the offseason so far. Like, this was super fun. I'm definitely willing to come back anytime. This was way – this was like a fun two-hour conversation that's – oh, my God. Make it a saga. Make it the Kings saga.
Long listen the Kings.
That's actually pretty good.
Long listen the Kings. That's like long live the Kings. Like,
I agree with you. I'm just saying that's. I'm throwing out another one. Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on, man. I'll talk to you later.
Later, bro.
All right, see ya.